Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. I'm reading from the New International Version today. Hear now the word of our Lord. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." This is the word of God for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. Well, this morning on the first Sunday after Easter, we come to the first of many resurrection encounters. I guess technically the first one that we could look at was his appearance to Mary Magdalene, though that particular story does not appear in the Gospel of Luke. But as we look at the various stories following the resurrection, we know that Jesus appeared to many of the disciples during the 40 days after the resurrection in which he walked upon the earth before ascending into heaven. We see in these resurrection encounters the many ways in which people's lives were continued to be touched and the ways in which their faith was tested in those days following the news of his resurrection. And we come to the story of these two disciples on the road to Emmaus, only one of whom is named. And we find that there was doubt amongst them as to the news that had been shared with them. As we look at the various resurrection encounters, we know that the first witnesses to the resurrection were the women that went early to the tomb. And we are told that one of these women is named Mary, and we find multiple of the women were named Mary. Mary was a very common name during that century. And one of the women was among the women who were at the foot of the cross. And we find listed in the various Gospels different names of the women who were listed there, and it is believed that that the women that went to the tomb were the same women who were at the foot of the cross, one of whom was Mary the wife of a man named Clopas. And as you look at the road to Emmaus, we find that one of the two disciples is named Cleopas or Clopas. Cleopas, Clopas, they're two different pronunciations of the same name. So because of that, many have speculated that the second person, the second disciple, was the very same Mary, the wife of Clopas, who was at the foot of the cross and possibly even at the tomb early that morning. We find these stories that have already been going around. The good news, what should have been great news, that Jesus Christ is risen. And even Clopas has heard the news that Jesus Christ is risen, whether it was from his wife or from the other women that went to the tomb. But yet there is doubt in his heart. And we see this with many of the early disciples in those days following the resurrection of Jesus, that until the time that they see Jesus face to face, they doubt the good news that he has risen. Well, we often look down upon one of the particular 12 who has gained the reputation as being a doubter. But when we look at the disciples, they all doubted at first. Only one of the 12, we are told, believed without seeing the risen Lord. But even he was blessed with seeing the empty tomb. But nevertheless, Jesus knew that his disciples would need a little bit more than hearsay if they were to believe that he had indeed risen. And he appeared to some of the disciples there in Jerusalem the very day of his resurrection. But having spent the Passover there in Jerusalem, those who were not from Jerusalem, many of them started their journey home. And we have these two on the road to Emmaus who lived not that far from Jerusalem, but nevertheless had stayed in Jerusalem throughout the Passover. And now they're on their way home, and while they're on their way home, they come across a stranger, or who they believe to be a stranger. Now, in this particular case, we're told that they were directly kept from recognizing Jesus. And I think part of the reason why Jesus did this was he wanted to test them to see how much they retained from all of his teachings. And here we have these two disciples on the road to Emmaus telling Jesus all about what happened to a man by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. It reminds me of a moment where I kind of made a fool of myself and introduced myself to someone I had been friends with for several years because I didn't expect to see them in that particular setting. Here we have these two disciples who are telling Jesus about what happened to Jesus. As they're walking along, he says, "Do you not get it yet?" And here we have Jesus opening up the scriptures to them, explaining everything in the scriptures that prophesied about the very events that had just taken place. Now, throughout the season of Lent, we spent the majority of our time talking about the idea of covenants and God establishing covenants with his people. And as I hope that you recognized as we worked our way through the various covenants listed in the Old Testament and looking at various passages throughout the Old Testament, which admittedly we pastors don't like to spend as much time in as the New Testament, hopefully you can see that all of Scripture does indeed point to what Jesus did upon the cross. From the very beginning, we have God creating Adam and Eve to be in relationship with him and walking with them in the cool of the evening. And there are some who, looking at the reality of the Trinity, the fact that God is eternally Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, look throughout the Scriptures, even in the Old Testament, and see where we can identify the divine Trinity, even all the way back at the beginning. There are those who believe that it was indeed Jesus, a pre-incarnate Jesus, but Jesus nevertheless, who walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening in the garden. And that was the relationship that Jesus sought to reestablish from that point forward, from the time that Adam and Eve broke the first covenant, broke that first relationship with God. God set about to find a way to restore that relationship in which He could walk with them and talk with them. As we look through the various covenants of the Old Testament, we see the ways that God was preparing to restore that relationship. And here now, after the new covenant has been established in the blood of Jesus Christ upon the cross and in His resurrection, the very day of His resurrection, here is Jesus walking along the road with two of His disciples and opening up the Scriptures for them, showing them how from the very beginning, God was working to reestablish that relationship with His people so that He could walk with them and live in fellowship with them. And if we look at this being Cleopas and his wife, then just as at the beginning, we have a man and woman, husband and wife, walking with Jesus and talking with Him and learning from Him and growing in their relationship with Him. And it's only when, after this conversation in which He speaks the truth of the Scriptures to them, they welcome Him into their home. We see that although they were walking with Him, it's not until after they have welcomed Him into their home and in many ways welcoming Him into their heart that He reveals Himself to them. If they had not made the decision to welcome Jesus into their home that evening, there is a very real possibility that they would have never learned who it was that opened up the Scriptures to them on the road that day. They would have been yet another pair of people who had an encounter with Jesus without knowing it. But instead, they open up their home and thus opened up their hearts to Jesus. And we find Jesus breaking bread with them around the table. During one of the services that I attended at St. Monrad's over the last couple days, the priest there spoke of the fact that every time you see Jesus appearing to one of the apostles, He's eating with them. Of course, the joke could be made that the resurrected Jesus was very hungry, but more importantly, there was that desire for fellowship. When He gathered with the 12 in the upper room, He asked for some fish so He could prove to them that He was indeed alive, because after all, ghosts can't eat anything, right? But He eats with the disciples in the upper room. He eats with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And when He meets with the disciples by the lakeside, He has breakfast with them. And where Jesus is recognized by these two particular disciples is in the breaking of the bread, in communion, in fellowship with Him. And we see here that desire of God to live in relationship, to live in fellowship, and in particularly fellowship around the table. If you remember back to the covenant that was established with Abraham, God went and He had lunch with Abraham. He sat there, He broke bread with him, And he promised him that within a year Isaac would be born. Again, when we look ahead to the establishing of the covenant at the base of Mount Sinai, God came down and he had fellowship with them. They shared a meal at the base of Mount Sinai with the Lord. And we have the fellowship meals under the Old Covenant. And then we get to the New Covenant. We have the meal of the Last Supper, in which Jesus said he was establishing this new covenant. And in the fulfillment of the new covenant, we see Jesus breaking bread with his disciples again. What we see here is a desire for relationship with all of his people, and an opportunity to walk with God, to walk with Jesus. And the desire that Jesus had to walk with his disciples in that day is the same opportunity that he offers to us today. Jesus has a desire to walk with us just as he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening, and as he walked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus that day. Now, the majority of the time, Jesus is not going to come down and physically walk beside us, though at times I believe that he does. There are times when Jesus hides who he truly is so that he can come and walk with us. I've heard multiple testimonies of people who have met strangers and they've shared meals with them. They've walked with them. In one instance, an uncle of mine picked up a hitchhiker who then opened up the scriptures to him during their afternoon drive. But through the Holy Spirit, even when Jesus is not physically walking with us, the Holy Spirit will walk alongside us in our day-to-day life. And if we will listen to him, then the Holy Spirit will open up the scriptures for us, just as Jesus did to the apostles and to the disciples on that road that day. God is desiring to walk alongside us in our life. Just today, someone made reference to that great poem, which I'm sure you've seen. I've seen framed on the walls of many churches and many Christian homes of the footprints in the sand, where Jesus is walking beside you. And those moments where you are not strong enough to walk by yourself, Jesus will carry you through those hard times. Jesus has a desire to walk with us, and to speak the truth of the gospel into our hearts, to show us his love from the very beginning, and then to meet with us around the table of our Lord. We have an opportunity each time we come to this table to come and fellowship with the Lord. In Revelation and in the other prophecies about the second coming of Christ, we are told that there will be a great feast, a wedding banquet, in which the church is finally united with Christ. We are known as the bride of Christ. But each time we come to the table, it is a foreshadowing of that great banquet. And it's an opportunity for us to sit and break bread with our Lord. We come to the table not to receive a snack in the middle of worship. We come to the table of our Lord not just as another meaningless ritual, or as something that we do because people have done it for generations. It's not something we do just simply out of obedience because Jesus said, "Do it." But we come to the table so that we might have communion, so that we might have fellowship with our God. We believe that when we come to the table, we meet the Lord in this place. We have a true spiritual encounter with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here at the table. And just as the disciples from Emmaus recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread, each time we come to the table in the breaking of the bread, we are invited to join in fellowship with the Lord, to recognize His presence, and to live in fellowship and relationship with Him. What we had here in the disciples of Emmaus, and even in the other encounters that we have after the resurrection, Jesus in the upper room sharing some fish, Jesus by the lakeside sharing breakfast with His disciples, we have the coming together of fellowship, not only with each other, but with the Lord. We must never forget that the whole reason Jesus came and died on the cross was so that He could have that fellowship with us. So as we come to the table today, I encourage you, come ready to meet God in this place. The disciples that day did not realize that they were meeting with Jesus. But in the breaking of the bread, in inviting Him into their home and into their hearts, they encountered Jesus in a new way. They encountered the resurrected Lord. We too are invited to encounter the resurrected Lord here at the table in the breaking of the bread. Let us come and share in that fellowship this day. Amen.